Chapter 1. Lena stood at the window, staring across the river where the industrial buildings lined the riverbank, the only indication that the world had changed since they'd moved into the apartment was the lack of crowds. Even 2 years ago in New Surrey, when it was sunny and warm, people would have been walking the seawall, and the sounds of kids at play would have drifted up to interrupt the silence. There weren't many kids anymore, since the global measles epidemic took most of the babies. By the time the doctors had figured it out, it was too late. It only took a few infected kids on a plane to take out almost every country. Kids born now were kept safely inside, away from contagion until they were able to be vaccinated. Would they remember? Was 18 months old enough to realize you hadn't seen the sun ever? Lena understood, but she wasn't sure if she agreed. Everyone was vaccinated now. Shouldn't that mean that babies were safe? But that fear was just another factor in her plan to leave. The news today about New York City felt like a step through a door to a dark future. She could feel it in her bones. Every day there was a little less freedom, a little more restriction. The world was ruled by people who were afraid, and this city wasn't any different. In New York, they declared martial law. People had to share their tiny apartments so that the dwindling resources could be more efficiently used. Rumors had it that there was only a year, maybe a little more, of supply of fuel, oil, and gas outside the oil-producing areas. Fuel was too expensive to transport around the world, and no one seemed interested in finding a real alternative. People had to rely on solar or wind or something else, none of which would power a car, a plane, or a ship. Was she the only person who thought it would be better to leave and start again on a farm? A place they could grow their own food, raise animals and babies, live with more freedom than they had here? The sun went behind a cloud and her image appeared in the window. Lena reached back to release the band that kept her braid in place, letting her hair fall past her shoulders. Brian liked her hair loose. Maybe that would help convince him, because he would be home soon, and this time she wouldn't back down. Even in the dim reflection, she could see the contrast between her fair skin and black hair. Was there physical evidence of her dissatisfaction? She had always been thin, and with her height, it looked worse. People often thought she was weak, but she wasn't. In her window, she looked the same as she always did. No dark circles of worry under her blue eyes, no twitch of impatience, nothing to give away her plans. That was good, because they would have to go in secret when they left. There was no getting away from the fact that they'd need to take some supplies, and the powers that be would probably find a way to make that illegal soon. The sun erased her reflection as it passed out of the cover of a cloud. Lena told herself it was an omen of success. She turned at the sound of Brian's key in the lock. It was time. Before he made it down the hall to the living room, she had a glass of wine ready for him. There was plenty of local wine available. It just wasn't as good as the imported vintages she remembered. He took the glass from her with a puzzled look. It wasn't her usual greeting. In fact, usually she was marking papers or planning lessons and barely noticed he'd come home. Thinking of her class made her sad. She'd miss them when she was gone. "What are we celebrating?" Brian asked. Lena took a sip of her wine. Now that it was time to put into words, it was harder than she imagined. "Not so much celebrating as commemorating. Did you hear about New York?" Brian took a gulp of wine. "Are we going to talk about this plan of yours again?" "Yes, I heard. It makes sense for them. They have a huge population. Transporting resources will be easier with people living close." "It won't be long before that will be us." Lena wouldn't let his blindness to the situation deter her from making her argument. How will you distribute food to the people living on the outskirts when we finally run out of fuel? That's supposed to happen too soon to find alternatives, according to the latest restrictions. And electricity? Water? How long before they get rationed? He put his glass on the coffee table and took her hand. First of all, it's not me who decides how supplies get delivered. You know that's another department altogether. What I can tell you is that there's talk of using horses and bikes and all kinds of non-gas-fueled vehicles to make deliveries. We are not going to force people to share living quarters. We, that is the larger towns, we keep services running. It doesn't take many people to keep the power grid growing, and solar is easier. The water system is the same. Lena was surprised that as much as she wanted to believe her husband, she could only think that he was deluded at best. More likely, he was just giving her the party line. And he was so deeply in the leadership that he believed what he said. It just didn't make sense to her. I know you believe that, Brian, but I don't. She set her glass beside his and pulled her hand away. I think we need to find a place where we can build a life. He gave a little sigh that reminded Lena of her students. It was annoying when teenagers did it, and patronizing when her husband did. Let's pretend you were right, he said. Why do we have to leave? We are part of the solution here. Your teaching job will always be valuable. I'm part of the decision-making level. We have a life here. Those services you asked about, they won't be reliable outside the organized areas, at least not for much longer. Lena closed her lips tightly to stop the words spewing out. How long before she was told what to teach? How long before books were removed from the curriculum? How long before all she taught boys was how to be good at approved jobs and girls how to be good wives? But it wasn't time for that argument. This isn't the life we pictured. Brian looked away from her. It was his usual way of telling her the discussion was over. Lena wondered if he'd been like that before things had changed. He rose and walked to the window, standing where she had been a few minutes ago. Was he seeing the same thing she had? I don't want to talk about this anymore, Lena. He turned from the view to look at her, look down at her. Can you just stop trying to get back to what we had before things went wrong? Lena knew he wasn't ready to see life as clearly as she could. This life they were living was only going to get smaller and more about survival than living. I'm not trying to get back to before. I'm just trying to find something that feels more normal, something with more breathing space. She wasn't going to give up, but Lena was willing to give Brian time. They weren't going to agree tonight. They delivered some beef today with the grocery allowance. I made a sauce to go with the pasta.